How many of you had a time in your life where you stooped under the tree sometime before Christmas and you shook things and you listened to things and you tried to peel up corners of things and you tried to find out what you were getting for Christmas? Anybody do that? Not anymore. Like with our grandkids, we just get lists and they kind of like know what we're going to get them. It's a little different. But I remember when I was a kid, I was inquisitive and wanted to know. But what my most heartbreaking Christmas as a kid was this Friday before Christmas, and I was probably 8, and I helped Mom and Dad unpack the groceries. They went shopping every Friday like clockwork, and I saw the bow and arrow they were getting me for Christmas. I cried like a baby. The rest of the Christmases, I tried to find out. It was my worst childhood Christmas. Fast forward, 2005 or 2006, I guess it was. I found myself in the middle of an unexpected divorce. And my first Christmas rolled around, and my youngest son, I think by Christmas time, was with me, and we were homeschooling him in his senior year. Jessica, that's the only year I could have done, because he did so much on his own. Jessica homeschools and does a wonderful job. And I told him, I can't celebrate Christmas. You know, it's a family event, and my family was, man, different. Praise the Lord for his presence. We ended up with 3 Christmas trees in the house that year, and we celebrated Christmas anyway. But those are 2 instances of Christmas that didn't start out like anything positive. And as we move along in this series called Unvarnished Christmas, we're going to try to fold in the whole human experience into this time of year. If you were here last week, you heard this, that some people can be turned off to celebrating Christmas because they think it has to be all joy and all, and troubles are pushed aside and everything's bubbly. And frankly, that's not real life. We've talked about the circumstances of Jesus' birth and how troubled it was. And you could use the word dysfunction. A bunch of words were kind of cycling through my brain earlier today. And he came anyway. That's how we ended last week. Last week's was titled Wounded. If you didn't see it and you want to, go to our website, lfmchurch.net. If you go to Recent Connections, you'll find it. It's the top one until I post this one tomorrow. And you can listen to that and kind of get on board if this interests you. Today we're talking about healing. How do we start that process? How do we bring the reality of Christmas? You've heard requests this morning. I mean, Michael's got pneumonia. He's on a respirator. Michael Hudson at Genesis, they're keeping him sedated. We've had deaths in families. There are financial struggles. We got a Christmas tree. Oh, boy, are they expensive. There's lots of stress. That doesn't mean we don't celebrate. And, of course, God knows this. And even the manner of his coming, he showed. And we're going to talk about this tree in just a minute. What we're going to do is look at some classic Christmas scriptures and see where the healing begins and how healing happens as we are honest enough to bring them and not just think we have to pretend that everything's all right, but bring that all to the stable. Bring that all into the remembrance that Jesus came. And this theme of one of us is a really important theme this morning. So if you have a handout, the first blank to fill in is healing, the promise of healing. The promise of healing that we use as a scripture verse from Isaiah chapter 7, and it is quoted and expanded in Matthew chapter 1, but we'll look at the Isaiah 7:14 first. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That's one of those classic Christmas passages. Well, when that was spoken, there was a need of healing. There was a great wound. It was a nation's wound. Israel and Judah had split up. Instead of one country, Israel, it was Israel who were disobedient, more disobedient, because Judah kind of had their own issues too, and Judah, where Jerusalem was. And two kings ganged up together, the king of Samaria and the king of Israel, and they were going to attack Judah and come against Jerusalem. And King Ahaz was all freaked out about it, as you imagine he would be. Enemy forces coming in, and prayed to the Lord, and Isaiah told him this as a promise that the wound of war would not touch the city of Jerusalem. It looked inevitable. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And so it's brought into the Christmas story in the Gospel of Matthew, the very first chapter, verses 22 and 23. So we know it had a meaning for that king at that time for that wound, but it was brought into this whole birth of Christ and the healing of all wounds. As Matthew quotes Isaiah and then tags a little extra important definition on. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that was Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Probably the most important lesson of this season is that God is with us. Because God is with us, we can be with him. And that's where healing begins. C.S. Lewis said this, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." The Bible's clear in telling us in the New Testament, to all who come to him in repentance, he gives the right to become children of God because of this event, which was a promise of healing for Ahaz, the king of Judah, and it is a promise for healing for whatever you're wounded over today. Whatever's going on in your season of life, in an event that's happening, in a lack or an overwhelming sense. And the truth is, Jesus is the center of all healing. Whatever is wounded, when we come to him, that's where our healing comes from. So that's the promise of healing. How about the process of healing? Or how would this happen? How would this make any difference? From being wounded to being sorrowful. I told you about the passing of my brother when I was 17 last week and that first Christmas. How do you get through that? What difference does it make? We're in Isaiah again in the 9th chapter, another classic passage of Christmas scripture. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Amen. Now, that word government throws us. If you're anything like me, when I hear that, I'm not thinking of light. I'm thinking of darkness. I'm thinking of confusion. I'm thinking of uncertainties. And I'm thinking there's lots of negative things to think. So I ask you to kind of work your way through what's going on in our world and culture, and indeed our whole history. You know, if a government's in power long enough, we see how corrupt we can all become. That's our potential. So see yourself in that potential, by the way. That's a helpful thing to keep in the right path. But the truth is, the process of healing is that this promised child would bring a government of light, a dominion of light. He would be the leader who is capable of bringing light into any darkness. And maybe it's figurative, but it works for me, and maybe it works for you. Every woundedness has a darkness, a corresponding darkness of some kind. A blurry vision, at least, and a blackout at most. And when the light comes, that's when we can start making our way, right? When we can see, even just a pinpoint of light makes a big difference. So let's talk about that light for a minute. A is the quality of that light. So that passage goes on, the second half of Isaiah 9:6, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Pastor Mike was reminding us of the Prince of Peace part of this. Well, what do these things mean? Just some things to think about. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful means extraordinary, beyond us, beyond our ability, beyond really in the case of who Jesus is. Way beyond us, exceeding all that we can ask or imagine. And he's a counselor, advisor and advocate. So an advisor, we go to somebody and we ask for some help. When as a fix-it guy, if I'm fixing something I don't know how to fix, well, now we go to YouTube and watch a couple videos, but We still go to the elders and I'll talk to Tim Bedell or I'll talk to Mike Bemis. Hey, you've done this before. Jason and some things too. How do you do this? And you get some advice. But then the advocate is the other one. That's the one who stands in between you and trouble and fights for you. You got to go through me to get to them, that advocate. That's who the government of light in Jesus, the child who would come, the promise of healing, that's what he does for us. He's a mighty God. The word mighty, it speaks of power, dynamos, power. He has the power to actually change the things that are wrong in our life or change us to walk through them when that's necessary. And just let me remind you, if he leads you through trouble and doesn't take the trouble away, you will grow through it. Nothing's wasted. Nothing is wasted. God uses that all, and he wouldn't allow it in your life if that wasn't true. Everlasting Father. Lots of things we can say for that, but for me today, it's the everlasting part. Constant. There's no running out. You know, you have people come in and out of your life, and they are good influences, but then someday they move away, or they pass away, or sometimes they fall away, and they're not there anymore. We can't count on them, but he is the everlasting Father. He won't abandon us. He won't move away from us. And Prince of Peace, peace is completeness. We've talked about this a few times if you're a regular of the last probably 2 or 3 years at least at the time I've been here. It is the word shalom. It's a difficult concept for us to kind of fully understand the way we live our lives in this pace and in America, but it is a completeness. It's a place of rest. It's a place of order. It's a place of, it's kind of the opposite of trouble. That's the quality of the light of the government of Jesus Christ, the one who would come and promise to bring healing. How about the quantity of the light? It is unlimited and it is unending. This kind of goes along with some things I already said, but Isaiah 9, verse 7 continues to say, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. It is an increasing, unending supply of the light we need when the gloom of our woundedness and things that aren't right descend upon us. See the certainty of the light. This passage ends, and the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Okay, so to understand the force of this, when you go back and look at original language, and this is right out of, okay, like, I didn't make this up. This is a disclaimer. This is the same word used to describe a husband eager to be intimate with his wife. So think about that. Adults in the room, that part of our lives that is intimate, that God intended only for married couples, and the zeal, passion could be used here. This is the motivation God has to bring the light and the lightness of his government to us. So why does that make a difference? It means he won't stop. He's passionate. He wants us so badly to understand what he's done when he's come to us, to bring our woundedness to him and to find healing in him. He has a zeal. He has a passion. That word is only used a few times in the whole of the Bible, but it's certainly used here. It is certainty because God's passion is bent toward it. He wants us to make sure to be walking in the light of his leadership and his competence, his ability. So we have the promise of healing. We have a little bit of the process of healing. You realize none of these can be completely shared in one event like a service. Number three is the proof of healing. The proof that this is happening. It's one thing. Up until now, there's lots of declarations. There's help coming.
It's going to look like this. It's going to do this for you. It's going to make these things available to you. But until we see proof, right, how do we know? How do we know what's really going to happen? And the beauty of this is seeing the fulfillment of one thing helps us to have confidence in all the other things God says is a part of following him. For that, we go to Luke chapter 2, some selected verses, 10 through 12, and then 15 through 16. You know this story well, most of you, maybe all of you. But the angel said to them, as they were speaking to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Again, a declaration. Something's coming. Something's good. It's bringing light because it's connected to these other scriptures that we've already talked about. In verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Poof, it happened. "Unto you a child is born, and I will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, and the government of light is coming. It's enough. It's quality light. It's not poor light like my headlights on my little Hyundai clown car that are all yellowed. It's quality. It gives light where it's needed." And here the angel said to the shepherds, this is the culmination of it. We know they didn't understand the fullness of it, but we do. That's why one of the reasons why we celebrate with such gusto, with such, you know, giving up our time to come in and decorate the church and go down to the Elephant and do those other things that we do and buy gifts that mean something and all those. And the shepherds went and it happened. The proof is it happened. All that declaration of hundreds of years, I believe the first declaration from Isaiah was 600 years before Jesus was born. And finally, this baby who is going to come and bring healing, healing of war for King Ahaz 600 years before, the healing of hurts for us, the healings of betrayals for us, the incompletenesses, the phone call from the doctor, the unknowns, the lost jobs, the car that conks out. There's healing, there's light. The light and the leadership of God has come to us. And finally, we have the practice of healing. Here's the thing about it. It's not just a poof and everything's fine. We are involved in seeing healing come. And you'll see we have an acronym of HEAL working down your handout. So here's how you can invest in this and enjoy healing in the trouble that Jesus said, "You will have trouble, but take heart. Take heart. He's come, and with his government of light, he's bringing healing." Number one, honesty. Own up to the reality of what is going on. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't overstate it. Just be honest. And take a chance on your family, and I'm talking about us, that when you're burdened, when things go badly, maybe especially if you had a hand in causing it, trust your family to come and say, "This is messed up," or either, "I blew it," or "This has happened to me. I'm sorry, I can't be all full of smiles and light. I'm hurting right now." We need to know when our people hurt. Because we know we each hurt. When we're home or when you're in bed at night staring at the ceiling and you're having the thoughts running through and something has happened and you don't know what to do. But when we get in with one another, sometimes we want to hide that. And the Christmas is a great cover, you know, because we say it's all joy and light and we sing carols and, you know, all that fun stuff. We still hurt. Be honest with that. Own up to the reality. Find a couple people who you can share that with. E, express yourself. Tell God and others. So the honesty is naming it for yourself. And express is including others. Tell God first, of course, and then include a couple of other people you trust or are testing to trust. Sometimes it happens that way. The A is accept. And that is practice behaviors and thoughts of healing. This is the hard one. When you're in a dark time, and you don't seem to be able to see the light. It's hard to manufacture motivation. But that's putting the cart before the horse. I actually have this trouble with my life, motivation. If I don't have motivation, like Diana said, we got our Christmas tree up, right? And I put the lights on it, and then she's going to do the ribbons. And she said last night, do you want to decorate the tree? I said, no. Yeah, I didn't feel like it. I didn't have the motivation. That's how we approach this kind of stuff. It's just so heavy. I can't make a move. Well, what happens is when we start to practice a behavior, if I'd have gone, got up off of my lazy behind and started to help her, I would have gotten into it. And that's how this happens. We practice behaviors and thoughts that lead to healing. Now, that necessitates, if you're going to get the right counsel, that you're going to the right counsel. And self-help books may have their place, albeit smaller than I think anyone has a right to claim. The principles in here and the practices in here that you can also find when you share these with one another will help you not succumb to the wounds that might be oppressing you today. And L is realizing it's a lifetime process. Hate to tell you that. You'll jump from one problem and you'll find victory, and something else will happen. Might be something totally different. You might get a string of the same kinds of things, and it's okay. I've done it myself. Why are you letting this happen? It's okay to say that. He's big enough. I think sometimes he chuckles and says, oh, good, there. He's finally being honest. Now I can really help him. But no, it goes on, and it's not something that, okay, I'm going to work on my healing, and then next Christmas, next Christmas there'll be something else. But it's a part of our celebration. We can be joyful that the solution to our wounding, the healing of our wounding, has come. Jesus, the Christ child, and his government of light. So at the bottom of your handout, I'm going to read that last scripture in a minute, but the bottom of your handout is a My Healing Needs line. And this is where you start being honest. What is it? What is it that's troubling me? Start working through that for yourself. Name it. Try to name what it is that you're... Often it's a feeling, and feelings can betray us. So try to name that and start this process of then expressing it to God. I have this trouble. I need your help in this. And find others to do it. And then discovering those practices, people to hang around, different venues. Sometimes a change of scenery helps you get away from the oppression of the troubles that are a part of our life. So write that down. Start working on that. This last passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 4 is not a Christmas passage. It is Jesus' declaration of why he's here. When he stood up in the temple at the beginning of his ministry and read from the book of Isaiah, and his mission is full of treating trouble. I hope you see that here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, troubles captivate, that the blind will see. The darkness of troubles blinds us from seeing the light and the truth that can release us, that the oppressed will be set free, speaks for itself, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come, because now is the day where the kingdom of light is among us and can be in us. Anyone can accept the healing and the government of light that Jesus brought as a baby that we sang about, and the ground began to quake. His resurrection, this is the beginning of it, and he put that bookend onto his promises at the end of his ministry by simply realizing that I'm not God. Matter of fact, I'm nothing like him. I sin, I do wrong things, I'm selfish. But Jesus came to introduce his government of light that sheds that light that brings healing to us and can make us whole. And accepting Jesus as the one you're going to follow for the rest of your life, and will help you, because we all need help. You can't follow him alone. So I first of all want to say, if you haven't done that, ask Jesus to take that role in your life and give yourself up to him. And tell one of us so we can help you in that journey. And then Sunday, December 24th, our Christmas Eve service here. We got one more in this series, and then we have our Christmas program on the 17th, and then on the 24th, we're going to be here at 10:30, and this is our Christmas tree. And last week, I showed a picture of my childhood Christmas, and I told you a couple stories from Christmas, and then you heard some other ones today. I'm asking you to help us and join us and share your life with us, happy or sad, and anything in between. Bring or send a picture. The information's up there. There's that slide, and there's another heypastordude@hotmail.com. That's my send a picture, send a story, or come prepared to tell a story. We're going to decorate this tree on Christmas Eve morning. We're going to hang an ornament that you bring that's special to you. It might be heartbreaking. It might be just a joyful memory. It doesn't matter. We're going to bring it all because we're... He came into the human condition, which is a broad scope of tragedies and ecstasies, and it is all a part of our celebration. None of it stays away. None of it is left by the wayside. So we are warming up today, and the praise team was singing one song, and I just was looking at my notes. Sometimes you see me scribbling in the middle. That's because the Lord's telling me to say things, change things, you know, and I don't want to miss it. My memory's about that long. And I said, we got to sing this song again, because in this song, God really loves us. You heard, hallelujah, we are not alone. Emmanuel means God is with us. We are not alone. In the lyrics of that song, if you come needing forgiveness or healing, we've talked about healing of wounds. There's a line in that song about hope, and this is the Sunday of hope, our first Advent candle. And I just thought, man, there's no way we can't repeat that song. So that's what we're going to do. Repeat that song. Praise team, come on up and listen to those lyrics. Bring your woundedness to him. And if there's a choice, a decision you need to make, I've outlined one, and that is to receive Christ. That is to decide you're going to follow him. Or anything else you need to pray about. Our altar's kind of full with the poinsettias, but there's front seats you can sit on. I'd be happy to pray, or somebody else, Pastor Mike and others would be happy to pray with you. And let's get ready to really celebrate the whole scope of who we are as human beings. God knows it all, as we come together and celebrate Christmas. And when we're done singing, I'll come back up and pray. Thank you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, friend, and Savior, we are not alone. You really do love us. Some here may not be able to understand and accept that, but I pray in your consistency and perseverance, we all will come to understand. Come as we are, you love us without us making any change, but you call us to come and be radically changed as we walk in the light of who you are and your holiness. Lord, there's trouble in this room, in this place, in our hearts, in our lives, in our relationships, in a whole bunch of things, in losses and lacks. I pray, Lord, on this first Sunday, this Sunday of hope, that you would shine your light upon us in such a way that we can begin to see the hope in each of those, to bring them to you, be held by you, perhaps, emboldened and filled by you to walk and find victory in all of these, so that we can pass it on to other people who need hope today. If anyone, Lord, is teetering on the edge of starting this relationship with you, just help them fall off into your arms today and share it with us. And help us to celebrate this season realistically, unvarnished, with all bumps and bruises, as well as the lights and joy and singing and laughter. And we commit it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome Sunday.